Welcome back to the Mbago Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a fascinating shift in global trade and fiscal policy, all driven by something incredibly relatable: kitchen table economics.
That's right. It seems the rising cost of everyday goods, especially food, is not just a personal worry anymore, it's becoming a major political lever. We're seeing signals from Washington that a significant trade policy move might be on the horizon, aimed squarely at addressing this affordability crisis.
And it's not just about economics, it's a strategic political gamble. Just look at the recent state and local election victories for Democrats, where affordability was the common thread. Candidates speaking to the anxieties of households struggling with grocery, gas, and housing prices clearly resonated with voters.
Absolutely. This electoral feedback loop is undeniable. When prioritizing kitchen table economics leads to decisive wins, it sends a clear message: address affordability, or risk being sidelined. For former President Trump, this presents a prime opportunity to reframe his trade agenda.
Exactly. Instead of solely focusing on perceived unfairness in global commerce, he can position himself as the consumer's champion, actively working to lower prices. It's a potent narrative, especially given the very real anxieties many Americans are experiencing right now. The question is, how do these electoral outcomes directly inform the timing and nature of his proposed economic policies?
It's a direct cause and effect scenario. The ballot box has spoken, and the response appears to be a policy pivot promising tangible relief. Let's start by exploring how the consumer has become the new frontline in trade policy.
Historically, trade policy has often been a tool for domestic political gain, right? Think of tariffs used to protect domestic industries and save American jobs. Trump himself has a documented history of using tariffs as leverage.
That's true. But what seems potentially different here is the explicit targeting of consumer prices, particularly for essential goods like food. This isn't just about protecting a specific sector. It's about alleviating pressure on the household budget directly.
It's a significant shift from a producer-centric focus to a consumer-centric one, which could broaden appeal and tap into a wider voter base. Now, let's dissect the underlying economic assumptions driving this affordability push.
The core idea is that by reducing tariffs on imported goods, especially food, the cost passed on to consumers should decrease. The key assumptions here are that importers and retailers will actually pass on those savings, and that the volume of affected goods is substantial enough to make a noticeable difference.
And it also implies a potential willingness to accept more competition for some domestic agricultural interests in exchange for broader consumer relief. This is where the political calculus gets really interesting, balancing the interests of different economic groups.
Precisely. Beyond the immediate political reaction and these assumptions, what are the tangible economic mechanisms at play? Let's delve into the specifics of these proposed tariff cuts on food.
The announcement suggests substantial tariff cuts, but the details are crucial. We need to understand which food categories are likely to be affected. Are we talking about staples like grains and dairy, or more specialized items?
And what's the current tariff structure on these products? Many food imports already face relatively low tariffs, but for certain items, even a modest reduction could translate into noticeable price changes at the checkout counter.
Consider imported cheeses, olive oils, or certain fruits and vegetables that might currently face higher tariff rates. Reducing these could indeed lower the landed cost for importers. If those savings are passed on, consumers would pay less.
But this is where those competing interests come into play. If the U.S. has strong domestic production of, say, dairy or certain fruits, lowering tariffs on imports could put pressure on those domestic farmers. They might face increased competition, potentially impacting their livelihoods.
The administration would need to navigate this delicate balance, or perhaps accept that some domestic producers might face headwinds in exchange for overall consumer price relief. The question of substantial is also key.
What scale are we talking about? Are these minor adjustments or significant reductions that could fundamentally alter the cost of a grocery basket? The anticipated impact on domestic food prices hinges on both the magnitude of the cuts and the proportion of these goods that are imported.
If a significant portion of a consumer's food spending is on items with high tariffs, then substantial cuts could indeed lead to a noticeable decrease in their overall food bill. Conversely, if tariffs are already low on most regularly purchased items, the impact might be more muted.
Moving on, how does this new approach differ from previous tariff policies? We recall a period where tariffs were often used as leverage in trade disputes, sometimes leading to retaliatory tariffs that increased costs for American consumers and businesses.
This new proposed strategy seems to be a significant recalibration. Instead of using tariffs to pressure other nations, they are being selectively lowered to ease domestic economic pressure. It's a shift from a protectionist offensive to a consumer-focused defense, or perhaps more accurately, an offensive aimed at the pocketbook.
If tariff cuts are one side of the coin, what about the other, new trade agreements? The administration isn't just looking at reducing existing tariffs. It's also planning to forge new trade deals, specifically with Latin American countries, aimed at reducing tariffs and barriers on common grocery items. This signals a proactive approach.
Analyzing these proposed trade deals with Latin American countries focused on grocery items opens up another layer of strategy. Which specific countries are likely candidates? We're talking about nations with significant agricultural sectors that could complement U.S. supply chains.
Think of countries in Central and South America that produce fruits, vegetables, coffee, sugar, and other commodities that are staples in American households. Establishing closer trade ties could streamline imports and reduce costs significantly.
What are the current trade barriers and tariffs on common grocery items with these regions? Many already have trade agreements, but there might be specific products where tariffs remain higher, or where non-tariff barriers like complex customs procedures or sanitary regulations add to the cost and delay.
These new deals would likely aim to simplify those processes, making it easier and cheaper to bring goods across borders. How will they aim to reduce tariffs and other trade barriers for specific consumer goods?
The focus on common grocery items suggests a deliberate effort to target products widely purchased, where price increases have a broad impact. This could include everything from produce and meats to packaged goods and beverages.
The goal would be to create a more direct, less costly supply chain from farm to table, bypassing some intermediaries and regulatory hurdles that inflate prices. What are the potential benefits and drawbacks for both the U.S. and the partner nations?
For the U.S., the primary benefit is the potential for lower consumer prices. For Latin American countries, it could mean increased export opportunities and economic growth. However, there are also potential drawbacks.
For the U.S., as we've discussed, it could create competitive pressure on domestic agricultural producers. For partner nations, over-reliance on the U.S. market could create vulnerabilities, and there might be concerns about fair labor practices or environmental standards.
Now, let's consider the geopolitical implications of forging these new trade alliances. Trade deals are rarely just about economics, they carry significant diplomatic weight.
By focusing on agricultural and grocery items, the U.S. could be strengthening ties with its neighbors, potentially counteracting the influence of other global powers in the region. It's a way of building goodwill and economic interdependence.
How do these deals complement or diverge from existing U.S. trade policy in the region? The U.S. already has significant trade relationships through agreements like the USMCA. These new deals might aim to deepen those or carve out specific improvements for targeted grocery items.
It could be an evolution rather than a complete overhaul of existing policy. With the U.S. strategy outlined, let's turn our attention across the Atlantic. It appears the global concern over affordability isn't confined to the U.S., the U.K. is also grappling with similar pressures.
Indeed. We're examining U.K. Chancellor Rachel Reeves's reported reconsideration of tax increases and the proposed exit tax. This suggests a government under pressure to either stimulate the economy or alleviate the burden on its citizens.
What specific income tax hikes and other levies are reportedly being considered for removal? This could include adjustments to income tax thresholds, national insurance contributions, or even changes to VAT. The contemplation of dropping these measures indicates a significant shift.
What are the economic arguments for and against maintaining these proposed tax increases? On one hand, higher taxes generate revenue for public services and can help manage inflation by reducing disposable income.
On the other hand, they can stifle consumer spending and business investment, potentially slowing economic growth. The decision to reconsider these hikes suggests the government is weighing the potential negative impacts on economic activity more heavily.
Let's analyze the political motivations behind potentially dropping these measures. In the UK, as in the US, public sentiment on economic issues is paramount. If voters are feeling the squeeze, a government increasing their financial burden is unlikely to remain popular.
Dropping planned tax hikes can be framed as a move to support households and businesses, a tangible sign of responsiveness to public concern. It's a political win, or at least an avoidance of a political loss. What is the proposed exit tax on wealthy individuals?
An exit tax is typically levied on individuals who renounce their citizenship or move their tax residency, aiming to capture capital gains that would otherwise escape taxation. Its potential abandonment raises questions about fairness and revenue generation.
Wealthy individuals might see it as a reprieve, while critics might argue it signals a lack of commitment to progressive taxation or could lead to a loss of tax revenue. The economic implications could include continued capital flight, or conversely, increased domestic investment.
How might these fiscal decisions impact consumer spending and business investment in the UK? If tax increases are indeed dropped, it could leave consumers with more disposable income, potentially boosting spending on goods and services.
For businesses, a more favorable tax environment might encourage investment and expansion. However, the flip side is that if these tax increases were intended to fund vital public services, their abandonment could lead to cuts in those areas, or a need to find alternative revenue sources.
Consider the broader economic context of the UK budget and its impact on European markets. The UK's fiscal decisions have a ripple effect across Europe. A more robust UK economy could boost demand for goods and services from neighbouring countries.
Conversely, if the abandonment of tax hikes leads to increased government borrowing and a widening deficit, it could create concerns about the UK's fiscal stability, potentially impacting bond markets and currency valuations across the continent.
These fiscal policy shifts in the UK, coupled with the US trade moves, paint a complex picture of global economic responses to affordability concerns. It's clear that the pressure on household budgets is a widespread phenomenon.
Indeed, prompting governments on both sides of the Atlantic to reassess their economic strategies. How do these distinct national strategies reflect a common global economic pressure point?
Both the US and UK are, in their own ways, trying to ease the burden on consumers. The US is looking to lower import costs through tariff reductions and new trade deals, while the UK is considering loosening the tax screws. Both approaches are fundamentally aimed at increasing disposable income.
This shared focus highlights a global economic environment where inflation, supply chain disruptions, and cost of living pressures are the dominant concerns for citizens and policymakers alike. What does the focus on food prices and consumer goods signify about the current state of global supply chains and inflation?
The fact that both nations are zeroing in on groceries and common consumer items suggests these are areas where the impact of inflation and supply chain issues is most acutely felt by the average person. It points to persistent challenges in getting goods from producers to consumers efficiently and affordably.
Whether it's the cost of energy, transportation, or raw materials, these factors are clearly driving up the price of everyday necessities. Consider the potential for contagion or inspiration between these policy approaches.
It's not uncommon for governments to look at what their peers are doing, especially when facing similar challenges. The US strategy of using trade policy to directly address consumer prices might inspire other nations to explore similar avenues, perhaps by re-evaluating their own tariff structures.
Similarly, the UK's fiscal recalibrations could influence how other European governments approach their own budget planning and tax policies. How might these actions influence investor sentiment in both US and European markets?
For investors, these policy shifts signal a heightened focus on consumer demand and the cost of doing business. In the US, tariff cuts on food could benefit companies in the consumer staples sector, while potentially creating headwinds for domestic agriculture.
In the UK, a potential boost to consumer spending could be positive for retail and hospitality sectors, while changes in fiscal policy could impact broader market sentiment. Across Europe, any indication of economic stimulus or fiscal prudence in major economies will be closely watched.
What are the risks of protectionism versus the benefits of trade liberalization in addressing affordability? This is the eternal debate, isn't it?
While tariff cuts and new trade deals lean towards liberalization, the underlying motivation to ease domestic costs can sometimes be a slippery slope back towards protectionist thinking if not carefully managed. The benefit of liberalization is clear: lower prices, greater choice.
The risk is that in pursuing short-term affordability, countries might undermine long-term domestic industries or create new dependencies. The key lies in finding a balance that fosters both affordability and sustainable economic growth.
What are the long-term economic implications of using tariff and tax policy as primary tools for managing inflation? While these tools can offer immediate relief, they are not always the most sustainable solutions for tackling inflation at its root.
Relying heavily on tariff cuts might distort global trade patterns, and significant tax reductions without corresponding spending cuts can lead to fiscal deficits. True inflation management often requires a more comprehensive approach, including monetary policy and supply-side reforms.
However, in the face of immediate public pressure, these more direct fiscal and trade levers are often the most politically expedient. This brings us to a crucial point: the interconnectedness of global economic pressures.
Affordability has become a unifying theme, driving policy decisions from Washington to Westminster. As governments grapple with these challenges, investors and businesses will be watching closely, seeking to understand the implications for markets, supply chains, and the broader economic landscape.
What's particularly fascinating is the potential for these policy shifts to create ripple effects beyond their immediate borders. The U.S., by actively seeking new trade partnerships focused on consumer goods, could reshape regional trade dynamics.
Imagine a scenario where streamlined import processes for fruits and vegetables from Latin America lead to more competitive pricing, not just in the U.S., but potentially influencing pricing strategies in other markets as well. This could incentivize other countries to seek similar bilateral agreements.
On the other side of the Atlantic, the UK's fiscal decisions carry significant weight. If Chancellor Reeves does indeed pull back from planned tax increases, it could inject a much-needed boost into consumer spending, which in turn could benefit European businesses reliant on UK demand.
However, the flip side is the fiscal hole that might need to be filled. If those tax revenues were earmarked for crucial public services, their absence could lead to difficult choices and potentially impact the broader European economic landscape.
Think about the interconnectedness of supply chains and financial markets. A more robust UK consumer could mean more orders for German manufacturers, but a less fiscally disciplined UK could spook bond markets across the continent.
This brings us to a broader question: what are the inherent risks and benefits of these distinct approaches to tackling affordability? The U.S. strategy, leaning on trade liberalization, promises to lower prices by increasing the supply and reducing the cost of imported goods.
The potential benefits are clear: immediate relief for consumers, greater choice, and potentially more efficient global resource allocation. However, the risks are also present. There's the potential for domestic producers to face intensified competition, and a strong reliance on imports could create new vulnerabilities.
It's a delicate dance between opening up markets and protecting domestic interests. The UK's fiscal recalibration, on the other hand, aims to boost affordability by putting more money directly into the pockets of its citizens.
The upside is a potential surge in consumer spending, which can act as a powerful economic stimulus. The downside? If these tax cuts aren't matched by corresponding spending adjustments, they could lead to increased government debt, potentially impacting long-term fiscal stability and investor confidence.
It's a trade-off between immediate relief and long-term fiscal health. Ultimately, both strategies underscore a fundamental challenge facing policymakers today: how to manage inflation and cost of living pressures without derailing economic growth or creating new, unforeseen problems.
While tariff cuts and tax adjustments can offer immediate relief, they are often short-term fixes. Sustainable solutions for inflation typically require a more multifaceted approach, involving careful monetary policy, structural reforms to boost productivity, and investments in supply-side capacity.
Yet, in the face of immediate public pressure, these more direct fiscal and trade levers are often the most politically appealing and readily available tools. This interconnectedness of global economic pressures is perhaps the most significant takeaway.
Affordability has emerged as a truly unifying theme, driving policy decisions from the White House to Downing Street. As governments around the world grapple with these complex challenges, investors, businesses, and indeed, all of us, will be watching closely.
The decisions made today, whether through tariff adjustments, new trade pacts, or fiscal recalibrations, will undoubtedly shape the economic realities for consumers and businesses alike, not just in the coming months, but for years to come. The global economic landscape is clearly in flux, and the pursuit of affordability is now a central, undeniable force.
And remember, this content is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be taken as financial advice. Always consult a licensed advisor before making investment decisions.
The core idea, then, is a global recognition that kitchen table economics are no longer a secondary concern, but a primary driver of political and economic policy. It's a recalibration, a shift in focus from abstract economic indicators to the tangible impact on household budgets.
And this isn't just about short-term fixes, it's about how governments are fundamentally rethinking their relationship with their citizens and the global economy in the face of widespread economic anxiety. Let's quickly summarize the key factors, strengths, challenges, and opportunities we've discussed.
Absolutely. First, the electoral mandate and affordability focus. The recent election results clearly show voters prioritize affordability, providing a strong mandate for politicians to address rising costs. This offers a powerful narrative for figures like Trump to connect with the electorate as a champion of the consumer.
The strength here is the clear voter signal. The challenge, however, lies in effectively translating political will into concrete policy that delivers noticeable price reductions without unintended negative consequences, like harming domestic producers or creating new economic dependencies. Maintaining voter trust requires tangible results.
Next, trade policy recalibration in the U.S. The strength is shifting from protectionist tariffs to selective reductions and new trade deals for consumer goods, aiming to directly lower import costs. This strategy broadens appeal by focusing on consumer benefits. New trade pacts could create more efficient supply chains for everyday items.
The challenge is the potential negative impacts on domestic agricultural sectors due to increased import competition. The effectiveness hinges on importers and retailers passing on savings. There's also the risk of these policies being perceived as protectionism in disguise, potentially inviting retaliation.
Then we have fiscal policy adjustments in the UK. The strength is reconsidering tax increases and potential abandonment of an exit tax, aiming to boost disposable income and stimulate consumer spending. This directly addresses household financial pressures and can be framed as a pro-growth policy.
However, the challenge is that abandoning planned tax hikes could lead to reduced government revenue, potentially impacting public services or increasing national debt if not offset by spending cuts. The exit tax debate raises questions about fairness and potential capital flight, impacting long-term fiscal stability.
We also see global economic interconnectedness. The strength is the shared focus on affordability, highlighting a common global economic pressure point. This can lead to policy contagion or inspiration, where successful strategies are adopted by others. Increased consumer spending in major economies can benefit international markets.
The challenge is that divergent approaches can create complex international dynamics. Mismanagement could lead to trade disputes or increased global economic uncertainty. The pursuit of affordability could inadvertently lead to new forms of protectionism or economic imbalances.
Finally, long-term inflation management versus short-term relief. The strength is that tariff and tax policies can offer immediate relief to consumers facing high prices. They are politically expedient tools that directly address visible economic pain points and can help stabilize public sentiment.
The challenge is that these are often short-term fixes and may not address the root causes of inflation, which often require monetary policy and structural supply-side reforms. Over-reliance can distort trade, and unfunded tax cuts can worsen fiscal deficits. Sustainable inflation management requires a more comprehensive approach.
So, to wrap up, affordability has become a truly unifying theme, driving policy decisions globally. As governments grapple with these complex challenges, investors, businesses, and indeed, all of us, will be watching closely. The decisions made today will shape the economic realities for consumers and businesses alike for years to come.
The global economic landscape is clearly in flux, and the pursuit of affordability is now a central, undeniable force. It's a fundamental recognition that kitchen table economics are a primary driver of political and economic policy. A true recalibration of focus from abstract indicators to tangible impacts on household budgets.
And this isn't just about short-term fixes, it's about how governments are fundamentally rethinking their relationship with their citizens and the global economy in the face of widespread economic anxiety. That's all the time we have for today on Baga Media, Finance.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.